To my guest this morning, hearing technology is changing quickly and hearing help workshops encourage people to look forward to the future developments. To improve listening with modern hearing aids, assistive listening devices and Bluetooth-connected smartphones, all having a role to play. But simple techniques for improving the sound environment can also transform the listening experience. With me this morning is Francis Dewhurst, the Living Well with Hearing Loss Project Manager for Cambridgeshire Hearing Help. Thank you very much for coming back to see us, Francis.
Phil, nice to see you. Yeah.
You come from sunnier climes back to our British weather. So you've had a little bit of a...
A little bit of a break
a
in sunny
sojourn.
Spain.
Lovely. We last saw you in March.
Yes.
We had you along as our charity of the month, though, Cambridgeshire Hearing Help, which was back in May. So it's nice to catch up again, especially just before Christmas. Well, hearing is something that affects, as we've got the statistics, especially over the age of 70, we all become a little bit more hard of hearing, but some of us more than others. We lose the high frequencies as we go through life anyway, the trebles, shall we say, the high frequencies, those, say, above 10 kilohertz, we can particularly be affected by those. Sometimes we can hear deeper notes, deeper sounds as we get older.
That's true, but the critical part of the high notes is that in the speech range, they are the sounds that give definition to speech. So, t, k, sh, those sounds are in the high range, and when you start to lose those, you can start missing out on some of the key sounds that give speech meaning. So even though you hear sounds, the lower notes, you may actually not be able to make sense of speech, think everybody's mumbling, and this is why hearing loss is often misunderstood as thinking, well, you can't hear anything. You can, but you don't always hear the right things.
So sibilance, I suppose, like as in the S's and sizzle, words like that?
Fricatives, actually. That's
fricatives?
Fricatives, a rather good word for it.
Never heard that one?
Yeah.
Fricatives. So those are those with those higher frequency sounds?
Yes, consonants at the beginnings and ends of words, which give, you know, the beginning, the clear signal to you where the word is actually leading, you know. So you know, tick is an obvious one with a T and a C and a K, very crisp sound. But if you can't hear those high notes, you might just hear it.
As opposed to plosives, which are more explosive sounds from the mouth, like p.
Yes,
and
yes.
But mainly P, of course, can cause a big plosive content as well.
Yes.
It is really all about a little bit of eye contact with someone in a room. I think, I mean, even for me, my hearing, as far as I know, is very good. But I always, I might have said this to you last time, if I'm in a crowded room, lots of people, might be a dance floor, might be a big event, lots of buzzing voices, maybe in a meeting, we're at breakout. Say, so we're gone for coffee and we're in a seminar. So it's breakout time and everyone's sort of, oh, hello, how are you? Or I haven't met you before, who are you? And with the background noise around you, with all these other voices, I find it quite hard to lock on to say if I was talking to you, Francis, in the middle of a group of, say, 20 plus, 50, whatever, how many, lots of buzzing, very active voices, lots of enthusiasm going on. I find that that difficult to just take a one-to-one with someone in such a situation.
And you'd be relying a lot on lip reading to be able to actually identify the noises. But often with hearing, it's not just what you want to hear, it's what you don't want to hear. So for everybody, background noise is challenging. And it does get more challenging for us as we get older, whether or not our hearing is deteriorating, because it's the brain trying to identify what we want to hear, and we get less good at it as we get older, I'm afraid. So that can happen even if your hearing is still pretty accurate. Dismal thing for me to have to say to you, but I'm afraid it is an experience that goes with the slowing down of the brain a little bit, you know. But cutting out background noise is often as important for people as actually magnifying or amplifying the noise they want to hear. And this is where sometimes people get very disappointed with hearing aids, because they don't deal as well as they would like with the background noise. And that's often the key challenge that people feel, that it's that the background chatter that makes it uncomfortable for them to go into social environments.
My father-in-law has recently got some hearing aids, and I've learnt now how to unblock the tubes from the earwax scenario. Yes. We'll get too graphic on the subject of earwax. But the modern oral little tubes that go with these digital devices, very, very discreet. And I thought, you know, because first of all, I tried it. He said, it's not working. So I had a look at this thing and I thought, worked it out in the end. It's almost like getting a little pipe cleaner in the old days down a tobacco pipe to sort of clean, which we don't really see too many tobacco pipe smokers anymore. But certainly something that most people can do as a little bit of maintenance home, apart from changing the batteries. Yes. I thought afterwards, Francis, I'll just try this. I've never tried a hearing aid. I didn't know whether I was going to actually, you know, do something to my ears by putting it on, you know, but too loud or something.
Yes.
And yes, I suppose, going back to what you're just saying, I was in a way just a little bit disappointed by the oral effect I got from it.
Well, a hearing aid will be tuned for a particular person, so they're not interchangeable.
It's like our spectacles, our reading glasses.
Yes, exactly. So each hearing aid is tuned for that person. So the fact that you didn't get a good result is because it was not tuned for you.
Yes.
They are programmed to enhance speech, so because that's what most people want to hear, which can sometimes, when you first put them in, you experience them as being a bit tinny. You don't necessarily get the same richness of sound that you remember.
It's a bit like compression of sound then on a telephone.
Yes, exactly.
Where all the, if you like, to squeeze as many telephone calls into the bandwidth as we can, we just hear
that
telephone voice that we get.
Exactly. I mean, it's better than that. And I'm now on maybe my fourth set of hearing aids, and the quality of the sound has improved enormously over the 14 years or so that I've been wearing them.
Did you start with an analog one originally?
No, I'd already started with digital, but the quality of the sound, I used to have to take them out if I wanted to listen to music, because it was just an unpleasant sound. With mine now, fine, I can hear beautiful music, and I don't have that same distortion. So things have improved just within, I mean, these are all National Health, you know, they're all, it's a National Health that's brought in that technology as well. So things have improved. But even for me, I will still find, although I've been wearing my hearing aids for a long time, you know, a very busy place. And sometimes hearing aids have got microphones at the back as well as at the front. And if you're in a pub and you'll pick up the sound behind you, and you'll suddenly find yourself listening to the conversation of the people behind you and think, hang on.
Probably rather better than those of us that don't need a hearing aid.
I can.
A little embarrassing sometimes about what's going on. Yeah. We're eavesdropping on someone else. Even though you're trying to... Are you able to switch off the rear-facing microphones on your ear?
On these ones, I can't, because it's automatic. It's artificial intelligence. The ones I originally had, you had to manually move them. With these ones, you can't. You have to turn around or sit somewhere, you know, move yourself a little bit. But it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? It means I don't have to fiddle with them. They automatically sense what they sense what you want to hear. In the case of the pub, they can't quite tell which voice you want to listen to. So they'll sort of get a little bit muddled if there are too many voices in the area.
I'll get slightly technical for a moment. Automatic gain control. And the reason I just said automatic gain control is I'm thinking of the old days. And we used to have a lecturer when I was at college, and we used to chuckle about him because he still had, this is years ago, and it was the technology of the day. It was a little battery box, and therefore it was either in his breast pocket of his jacket. This lecturer, well, as soon as he'd faced the board, and those days it probably was chalk or at least a scribble board, The hearing aid would go into feedback, howl round, it was a squeal across the room. So you'd be talking to you and the squeal would be going along. Yes. And it used to kind of make us laugh anyway.
Yes.
Modern
yes.
ones, though, yes. presumably, yes. they yes. can control that now.
They control it much, much better. Some people will still have a challenge, particularly if they're not quite adept at putting in the hearing aids as well as they might be. Also, for me, for example, if I hold something near this one, I'll get feedback. If I hold it near that one, I don't. It's very varying, depend on how they've set it and you and the person you are, you know. Some people you will still find have got a little bit of squeaking, but it's much better than it used to be. My father's hearing aid used to squeak the whole time if he ate, you know, so he's, it was very distressing for him, actually, because he was embarrassed that when he ate, the movement of the jaw would dislodge the aid, and then he would get that feedback.
So it was because the microphone had moved a little bit within the ear, and just a subtle change.
But nowadays, you know, these are problems that really, really for most of us, those sort of problems are the thing of the past. They're really the least of your worries with a hearing aid now.
And they really are so compact. I have to big up as well the audiology department at Addenbrookes, because he has been along there before to have his hearing aids checked and serviced.
Yes.
And there's a wonderful group of volunteers that work under the NHS, but are there as volunteers. A lot of them students, young people.
Yes.
If an older person, perhaps it might be an older person's having a difficulty with a hearing aid, they can check them. They'll even change the batteries if they're having a bit of a struggle with the batteries.
Yeah.
And they will clean out the little audio
tube. That's what Cambridgeshire Hearing Help does. That's what Cambridgeshire Hearing Help does all over the county. So there are drop-in centres all over the county for people where they can have exactly that service with the Cambridgeshire Hearing Help volunteers, which is wonderful, really, because it means that people don't have to travel too far, and it's keeping people using hearing aids. It's helping to overcome some of the inconveniences so that it's easy and it's straightforward, and you get into a good habit of just wearing them regularly.
Now, coming to the events you have, we've mentioned across the county in Sawston next Monday, and I mustn't get confused with this one because you have quite regular drop-ins in Sawston anyway, but this is a rather special one. And you have a nice poster. On the poster you say, how easy is it for you to hear the following? Conversations with friends in a busy pub or restaurant. We've just been having a conversation about that conversation.
Yes.
Chatting between people at a family party or a social group, and often it's within the family that people can feel embarrassed, an older person, because they might feel left out, say at Christmas, because grandma, granddad, and I'm not trying to be ageist about it, because hearing problems can affect every age, but maybe the older person and grandma feels, or granddad feels a little bit isolated from the family day. Let's say it's Christmas.
Yes.
Not really hearing what's going on, and perhaps frustrated, but too embarrassed, or doesn't want to say, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Mm. I think the other aspect of it is that when you don't hear well, you have to make much more of an effort to listen and to lip read, and it can be very, very tiring. So if you're in a family party, you can actually find that you just become too tired to concentrate after a while. So it takes an extra toll on you, not being able to hear well, because we're using our brains the whole time to supplement the sounds that we don't hear, and brains are pretty good at it. You know, our guesswork is usually pretty accurate.
So they fill in the gaps.
Fill in the gaps, but then there'll come a time maybe when you've just had enough, and that can be, you know, it can be before the party's ended, as it were. You know,
and it can be tiring, because after all, when you're older, you find our days can be more wearisome to us.
That's
Some very fit and older people out there. I don't want to characterise people as you know, being worn out and conked out as we get older, but people do find it very tiring.
But I think also you should be aware that it's tiring for, you know, anybody who's got a hearing loss. So it's not necessarily, I mean, it's tiring for me. You know, if I'm in a situation where I've been listening very hard for a long period of time, you know, I will need time off. I will need to be kind to myself and say, I've done that, I need a rest. So it will be something you need to think about and actually manage for yourself. Otherwise it's just exhausting, and you then don't listen, and you do that nodding away pretending you can hear, you know.
And we've been talking about these scenarios, including maybe being points being made during a bustling business meeting or a conference call. So, you know, a lot of these people might answer, yes, I find it difficult to hear people, almost impossible. Well, if that's the case, then you have got these face-to-face workshops.
Yes.
We're highlighting one in Sawston. I'm sure, Francis, you've got others coming up.
Yes.
What will happen if we go along on Monday? We'll give the details out, by the way, shortly.
Yes. Well, it's in two parts. So the first part is a lot of information from me. We talked a little bit now about losing the high notes and how that affects you. So we talk a little bit about the technical side of it. You know, how do we hear, how it works, how the ear works, and what goes wrong for people. But very much in the context of the real experience of listening. So we talk a lot about the environment in which you're listening. So it'll make a big difference whether you've got a good light so you can read people's faces, that kind of thing. And then the second half, we will talk to people about their the practical problems that they have. And we will talk to both the people who perhaps have the hearing loss and their friends and family. So it's very much encouraging people to come with the people, the terrible word, the communication partners, but the people they talk to most. And then we'll go through those looking at solutions. So we look at hearing aids, but we also look at, there's a lot out there like amplified phones, TV listeners. There's a new mobile phone that's that allows you to adjust the sound coming in to your hearing loss. A new mobile phone, it's not a phone, it's a provider who does that for you called Audacious. And then there are others, there are other things around as well. So we go through that and just practical tips, because it's people who've got hearing loss who are there talking about it. So we can share our practical tips on how to do it, talk about it. And also, I think, build people's confidence that it's okay to say I don't hear.
And communicating with people, especially we know that they have some hearing difficulty, is, as I said early on, maybe be a bit clearer, project better.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Use our radio voices to talk to people.
Yes.
Maybe that will help a little bit. We're clear with our diction and our dialect and our intonation and our inflection.
Yes.
And not mumbling or sort of covering our phrases.
Exactly. Exactly. But sometimes the person with the hearing loss has to explain to the person they're trying to talk to, what the problems actually are, so that, not having your hand in front of your mouth because they are lip reading. So, if you can actually explain to somebody, I need to lip read you, then you can understand a bit better. You can then help them to speak more clearly or whatever it is. So it's very much a two-way process, very much about the communication between the two parties, really.
Frances, your enthusiasm comes across always whenever you come to see us. She's putting her hand in there, and it's almost like she just scored a goal this morning. But the one thing you do want to make sure at Sawston as well, there's a certain intimacy in a way. You're not there to preach or lecture.
No, not at all, because people know what their problems are. And other people have also experienced them, but it's individual to each person, and people, it's an opportunity to actually, sometimes it's an opportunity to just say, I find that really irritating, we all go like, yes, isn't it irritating? I'm not saying it's just a session of grumbling and complaining, but there's an element of saying, there is sometimes, you say to somebody, I can't hear, and they repeat exactly the same thing they said it exactly the same way, and you still can't hear,
Because they haven't taken the time and effort to maybe adapt themselves a little bit to the situation.
One
final broad question then to finish with, maybe it's very open. Do you think the society is getting noisier?
Yes, I think so. I mean, the background noise is getting high. The number of things like a fan, a fridge, all these things are actually there for us. And then traffic and all that. Noise isn't often counted, in terms of pollution and things like that. Noise is not given, a level. It's not added into the count. And so our hearing is damaged by it.
I mean, aircraft are getting quieter, but there are more of them.
Yes.
So maybe the noise coming from the sky all the time.
Yes.
Quick one for you. I don't often do shopping in Huntingdon Town Centre, but there's going to be one lovely radical change to the town centre in Huntingdon come Monday afternoon.
Oh,
because, of course, part of the new A14, the deviation is going to open.
Oh, yes.
And at the moment, you have the elevated section of the A14 that goes over the River Great Ouse and over the East Coast Main Line. Tire noise, traffic noise, both directions, two carriageways of traffic. There is just people probably that going shopping around Huntingdon, locking out as we do.
Yes.
We don't hear a clock ticking after a while. And your brain sort of switches off to this. But I bet come 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon, they're going to go,
wonderful silence.
Something's different here. And we'll almost take a moment of silence.
Yes.
Right now. And it's going to change for them.
It is, so much as
the road will go south of Brampton for them.
Yes.
And I really hope that it will actually make Huntingdon a nicer place for people and that they will notice the difference.
Yes. No, absolutely. Just one point I would say, though, on noises. We used noise as our alarm system. And one of the complaints about things like an electric car is that people won't hear it and won't know it's coming. So we have to balance this right between, you know, that we use noise as our key indicator that there's a threat, you know, ambulance noises and so on. So we have to get this balance right. People sometimes don't like the silence because they feel, they don't know where the danger's coming from.
And, of course, cyclists would generally be quiet as again. But electric cars, since the 1st of June, those manufactured in Europe now have to have a sounder on them.
Yes.
I haven't actually heard one with the sounder on yet, so I'm not quite sure what the noise is that they're making. Adding to the noise, you might say, but maybe getting rid of the sound of the internal combustion engine.
Yes.
There's always a balance in life, I guess. Francis, just quickly the details then. We'll give listeners a telephone number. Would you like to do that?
Yes, you can call. The best place to call is 07927 128 535, or the landline 01223 849 798.
I'll give that landline number again. It's a Cambridge number, 849798, if you want to get in touch with Cambridgeshire Hearing Help. You can find out a lot more information as well, some guidance, and to find out where all these venues are. We've got some others coming up other than Sawston, Francis, as well. But CambridgeshireHearingHelp.org, the website is CambridgeshireHearingHelp.org, .uk, I should say, on the end of that. But just put in your search engine, Cambridgeshire Hearing Help, and you come up with lots of good, cracking information.
Yes.
Francis, you have a great Christmas as
Thanks very much, and happy Christmas to you all.
And maybe if you want to go meet Francis Dewhurst, then go along to the Sawston Medical Centre, which will be held at.
You don't have to be a patient at Sawston to come. It's open to anybody.
Open to all, especially if you're across South Cambridgeshire and you get yourself to Sawston.
Yes.
On the A1301. And meet Francis and the team. There'll be several of you helping out.
There will be, yes.
Yeah. Come along.
Okay.
And help to fill the room.
Thank you.
But be assured of nice one-to-one attentions from Francis and the team. Thank you very much, Francis, for coming in. Francis Dewhurst there, the Living Well with Hearing Loss Project Manager for Cambridgeshire Hearing Help. Thanks very much.